And take a moment to check in and notice how you're lying on the floor. Today is March 4th, correct? 2003, I think. And today's lesson, I'm sure, is derived from one of Moshe's lessons. However, it's not directly coming out of the Alexander and I book, so the title is called Arm Circles. We've been on a theme, right? You know me by now, how I like themes. We've been on the theme of making circles. So notice how your shoulder blades are resting there, how your upper back, mid-back, and lower back is resting, how your legs are lying on the floor. Notice how each shoulder blade is resting on the floor. Does one feel higher, being that it's not resting completely on the floor? Or one may feel higher in the direction of being closer to your earlobe. And then take a moment to observe and notice how your arms lie along your sides. Do you have the arms out to your side or down by your side? Are the palms up or are your palms turned down? And what about your elbows? How straight or bent are your elbows? Now please go ahead and roll onto your right side. Lying on your right side, preferably have your right arm straight out in front of you. If you really need to place it underneath your head because you feel like your head is hanging down too much because you have wide shoulders, then you can use your right arm as like a little pillow. But otherwise, have it straight out in front of you. Good. And your knees are bent up in like a 90-degree angle, comfortable. And now bring your left arm straight out in front of you and place the left palm either on the floor or it might be resting on top of your right hand, which is fine to start with either way. But you want your left arm long, the fingers long, so as much as possible not to be bending in the wrist or the elbow. So your left arm becomes like a stick. And very gently begin to start sliding your left arm forward. So we'll start to slide either over your right arm or you have it on the mat, so it's sliding on the mat. And you just slide as far as you can go. And then you bring it back. But again, the constraint is, so there's always a constraint in the lessons, is that your elbow and your wrist stay in a way locked. That means straight. So you're not allowed to bend the elbow. So as soon as you start bending the elbow, it means that you stop the movement. Most of you will want to bend the elbow on the return. So instead of bending the elbow, see what you need to do with your shoulder blade in the back. That's it. Make sure you really attempt to coming all the way back to lying fully on your side. So some of you are slightly rotated forward now. So If you're really on your side, that means you're really lying on your right shoulder as well. That's it. So you always come back to that starting place. Good. Good. And just pause and rest on your side for a moment. Bring the left arm straight out in front of you again. And now this time, you're going to begin to do a movement of lifting the left arm away from your right or away from the floor. So again, have the concept that your left arm is like a stick, and you start to lift the hand, the fingertips away from the floor. And just start by lifting it only about, let's say, 4 inches, so that you can feel the movement that happens very specifically in your left shoulder joint. That's it. Good. Now, what happens when you go beyond that distance? So really go slow. I know that you all can raise your arm up to the ceiling. That's not what I'm interested in. What I'm interested in is that you experience and feel what happens inside the shoulder joint and what happens with your ribs and spine that permit the left arm to lift up. So the left arm from the fingertips to the head of the humerus, which is deep inside your shoulder joint, it's almost like a teeter-totter. Everybody knows a teeter-totter, right? When you were a kid, one person sits on each end of the board, and one person has to be the initiator, right? One person usually is down, and they use their feet to pop themselves up. So let's say that's the person where your fingers are. And as the fingers go up, can you feel how inside the shoulder joint, the head of the humerus, scoops itself down inside the shoulder joint? So there's that movement going on, as well as the shoulder blades sliding back along the backside of your ribs, and your ribs are also turning some. But I really want you to experience this feeling of what happens inside the shoulder joint. So maybe, let's say, the other constraint is that you don't allow your ribs to roll. You keep your sternum facing out forward, out in front of you. Very nice, Danielle. That's better, Kathy. Is that clear? Okay, pause on your side and rest again. Does the concept of the teeter-totter make sense? Everybody knows what that is, right? In here, I hope.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Doesn't?
No, that's because...
That's okay.
The shoulder end of the teeter-totter is tiny and the arm is really long.
Well, but they're both... But basically, it's like you have two ends.
I mean, with your arms. With two arms.
No, just with one arm. But you have two ends. So just think, in here's the end, and this is the end. It has nothing to do with the size of the ends.
Oh, I understood the fulcrum to be the shoulder
joint. No, inside the shoulder joint, the head of the humerus. So inside, this is called your humerus. It's a ball. The inside of
the end.
That's the other end of your arm. So the ball is scooping inside of the joint. And if you lose that scoop, things like coming overhand in tennis, all those things. So I want you to feel the difference between the shoulder blade and inside the shoulder joint. It's very important to ask the questions. So let's come back to trying it again. So you're just going to start to lift the left hand 4 to 5 inches up, maybe 6, and feel how inside, can you go up by Monique? Inside your shoulder joint, the ball part, so that's in here, it actually sinks down. You feel that now?
Oh,
so this sinks down way before you even get to this.
I was thinking that part of the shoulder.
Right. And this is the blade. Okay. But this is the inside. So this is the end of this. That's it. Good.
I mean, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel it. At least I don't.
Then how do you know you're doing it? How do you know you're doing it if you don't feel it? You've got to be able to feel it. Because you can lift your hand by moving the shoulder blade behind you. So everybody try not to do the movement, meaning that you lift your hand and you don't allow the scooping to happen. You lock inside your shoulder joint.
I have to tense this.
Right? So now don't tense it and see if there's something happening inside of there. Okay, now continue to lift your left arm, but this time, as you do so, allow your eyes and your nose and your face to follow the left fingertips as they come up along the wall and up towards the ceiling. So now you're inviting your chest and spine and ribs to rotate and move. Good. Now, as you're doing the larger movement now, can you still pay attention that you still do that movement inside of the shoulder joint as well as involving the rest of yourself? Or do you stop that other movement? Very nice. Pause and rest on your side again for a moment. Bring the arms straight out in front of you again. And now this time, can you imagine that you're holding a stick? And this stick is connected from your nose to your left thumb and like index finger. So you're almost like balancing the stick on your nose. So it's real important now that your left arm is kind of locked to hold this stick. And as you lift your left arm up towards the ceiling, you're balancing this stick to stay on your nose. So that means your nose and your face, everything has to move in unison. Otherwise, you drop the stick. It really would be your index fingers, like holding. You can even bend your little index finger a little bit. Really get into the imagination that you're holding this stick between your index finger and your nose. So you have to move at a very specific rate. Otherwise, the stick will slip out, and heaven forbid, it might poke you in the face. And it's interesting to bring into this movement what type of tension. There's a certain tiny amount of tension that you would create in your index finger, right, to hold the stick in place. It's a very, very small amount, but it's completely sufficient. And this is the level at which all of your muscles should be working at. No more, no less. See, if you push too hard on the stick, two things will happen too. It'll either crack and break, or you'll push down on it hard enough that the stick will again move off your nose because of the pressure from the index finger. Yes? Am I making sense? Very, very nice. Great. Okay, and let's let that go and roll onto your back and rest. And observe how you're feeling in your left arm, the left side of your body, the chest. Something already changing, something different. Please roll over onto your right side again. So that means your left arm is straight out in front of you. And you continue to keep the left arm straight, elbow, wrist, shoulder. And begin to lift the left arm. Follow with your chest and your face and eyes so that you bring the left arm up to the ceiling. And then that is where you're going to stay. That's your like new starting position. So your chest and your face should all be orientated towards the ceiling. Okay? Your sternum, your breastbone, towards the ceiling, as well as your nose. That's it. Good. Now, in this position, begin to do a movement of just lengthening the arm up towards the ceiling, and then you think of lowering it back down again, in through the shoulder joint. So again, there's no bending in the elbow. Now, this gives you the feeling of the shoulder joint, the head of the humerus, pressing deep inside the joint and then moving the scapula, which is that triangular bone behind your back, down along towards your spine. That's it. You reach up and then it slides back. Very nice. Good. And let it go by coming back onto your side, and we'll take a rest on your right side. Just a little pause. Come back to the same position so that your left arm is straight out, palm is down on the floor or on your right hand. You lift that arm up towards the ceiling and really allow now your chest to roll and rotate. It's almost to the point that you're slightly lying almost like on your back at this point. So your left hand is still pointed towards the ceiling, but your face and sternum are towards the ceiling. That's it. And now in this position, you're going to turn your arm. So just begin to turn it left and right. Again, you pretend your arm is like a stick, so there's no bending in the elbow. And you'll see you don't need to bend the elbow to twist the entire arm. There's two options to twist the arm. And what's really interesting is you can either focus on like your thumb or your pinky. You can think of initiating the movement from the thumb side, twisting to the left and to the right, or you could think of your pinky. From each finger, it generates a different quality and sensation into the shoulder joint. That's it. Good. Come back onto your side. Rest for a moment on your side. Bring your arm up once again, left arm up towards the ceiling. Let your body rotate and twist, so go back to the same place. And now you're going to combine the last two movements. So there's the lifting and twisting and the lowering and twisting. And I like to let you figure out the combination so that you can prove to yourself how intelligent you are. You like that? So once you're on the, that's it, on your like backside, there's a way that you lengthen and twist, and then there's a way that the shoulder blade slides back down, and it's like thing you untwist.
Good morning.
Good morning. I think you can go over there by Susie, right over there. And if you're not sure if you have it the right way, what should you do? Excellent, Susie. So you try the other option. So, right, there's only two options here, really. There's two twists, and there's an up and a down. So if you really don't think you have it the right way, you try the other way. This is what children do all the time. They don't get stuck into their own habitualness of helplessness, saying, I can't do it. They just think, oh, there must be another option. So you try the other way, and then out of those different options, you'll figure out which one makes sense. They both make sense, but they both provide different ways of organizing for different meaning. Which one would you be doing to open a door? Okay, let it go, roll over onto your side, and then go ahead and roll onto your back and rest. This weekend I was teaching in Chicago, and one of the things that I'm starting to teach in this group is some references to a great book by this woman named Carol Dweck. Carol Dweck is her name. And she's come up with these two divisions that happen for all of us in early childhood, where we either take the pathway to become helpless or what she calls a masterful mind.
At what age?
It starts at as early as like 4 and 5. So she took a group of kids and she gave them all 8 problems that were completely solvable for their age group, and observed how they did. And they were to verbalize how they felt about themselves and the process. Then they were presented with 4 additional problems that they could not manage. And she evaluated where did they go within themselves during those 4 problems. Well, the ones that felt helpless immediately went into an inferiority complex and started blaming themselves for the inability to solve the problem. And in fact, they took it so far that by the time that they were trying to work out the other problems, they had changed their concept of how many they had solved. So originally they solved the 8 and they were down to only thinking that they had solved 5. That's how deep of a process one goes into blaming, and that they're incapable. Now the masterful ones took on the challenge. They didn't identify themselves as part of the issue for not being able to get the problem. So the question is, how do we get on either one of these paths? And most of us get onto one of these paths and travel it our whole lives. So one of my interests is in this work is to get on the other track, so to speak. That makes sense? Yes, no? It's really quite fascinating. And it had nothing to do with IQ intelligence at all. In fact, the kids that were often found to have the higher IQ fell into helplessness more often. So that's something to think about. Okay, so let's go back onto your right side. So what's important to think about this is that as I'm instructing you to do movements in the class, is where do you go with yourself? When you feel like you don't understand something or you don't think you're doing it, where do you go with yourself? Where do you fall into that? Do you start blaming yourself? Do you feel inadequate? I can't do it. Or is there a part of you that can start to ask yourself questions to try to figure it out? So it's just another piece of self-observation for you to think about. Bring your left arm out in front of you. And now this time, we're going to just begin to do a movement of turning your left arm over itself on the floor. So right now, your palm is down. So roll your arm so that the back of the palm comes onto the floor, and then you roll it back to the palm being down. So you just, it's the same movement we did in the air, but you're going to do it on the floor. Turn over and turn back. That's it. Now, just like the movement when you are in the back, do you sense that there's a time when you would like to maybe lengthen your arm to turn over the arm? That's it. And then you pull the shoulder and the shoulder blade back and the arm turns back over again. So there's right now very little moving up and down on the mat. It's just turning right over itself. That's it, Linda, right in front of you. It's interesting that this is the exact same movement, but it feels so foreign, yeah? So different. Good. Now, this next movement is that you start with your palm down, and you're going to begin to slide your left palm along the floor in an upwards direction, as if you would eventually come to having your left arm straight above your head on the floor. So not off the ground now. So it's another way to come above your head. But you slide it on the floor. You know, lifting. Your fingertips stay on the floor. You slide your arm up along the floor, but you need to turn over the palm at some point in time before the arm gets above you. So once your left arm is over the top of your head, the palm should be up. So feel when along the pathway, you're like creating an arc, right? When along the arc do you feel the need to turn over the hand, and you turn over the thumb. You roll over your thumb, so there's no need to lift. You don't need to lift in regards to your head. The arm will just roll over your head. Very nice. Good. And just go back and forth and feel what starts to happen in your spine, throughout your back, when your hand comes over the top of your head. Do you feel a sense of length, that somehow your spine elongates as the arm comes up? Come back to the side and pause and rest for a moment. Okay, and bring your left arm straight out in front of you again, palm down. And now we'll continue the same movement with the idea that you could go past the top of your head and start to begin to do the arc from the top of your head to coming behind you. Okay? And at no time does the left hand leave the ground. So here, once again, is a constraint. So what do you need to do with your head and your chest to allow your left arm to come behind you? And once again, there's a moment when the arm comes behind you that the palm has to turn back over again. So going to keep on going. Do. Yeah.
You can go do further.
Uh-huh. And then the arm turns this way again.
Oh.
So now you're making like a half a circle around yourself. Does that make sense, that definition? You start where your right arm is, and you end up with your arms straight out from each other, and your body is rotated and twisted. Your knees are still over to the right, but your spine is twisted. And as you continue to do the movement just a few more times, really pay attention to what's happening with your back, your spine. Is it your hand that is initiating the movement, or is there something in your trunk that initiates the movement? Great. And the next time you bring your arm behind yourself, you can just then roll onto your back. From there, straighten your legs and rest. And again, observe now how your left side is feeling compared to your right. Often one experiences the left side now to feel larger, more spacious, and yet softer at the same time, and maybe lighter. It's always an interesting combination that something can feel larger and lighter. Notice how you're breathing. And very gently roll your head a little bit to the left and to the right, and just feel the quality of rolling your head to each side. Good. Okay, so let's roll over onto your left side now. So that means your left arm is straight out to the side and your right arm is on top with the palm down. And your right arm becomes a stick. And the first movement we began with was just sliding that right arm now, lengthening it out away from you and sliding it back. Again, the constraint is to keep the elbow, wrist, shoulder locked so there's no bending in the elbow, so you can feel the shoulder blade coming back along your spine as you draw the arm back. So no bending in the elbow. Good. Now just pause for a moment, staying on your side. And now this time with your right arm, begin to lift your right arm away from your left. And only start with lifting it about 4 or 5 inches away from the floor so that you can experience this idea of like a teeter-totter. So as you lift the fingers and the hand, you feel deep inside the shoulder joint that it scoops down. That's better, Garna. Do you feel that now? Good.
Is it normal to burn in there?
No. You cooking something in there? Got a stove? That's it. Nice. Okay, and again, let's pause and just rest on your side for a moment. Now bring your right arm straight out in front of you again, and this time imagine that you're holding a stick. And again, use your right index finger now to hold the end of the stick. So all you have to do is bend the very end of your index finger, right? You just kind of make like a little hook. And the stick is on the end of your nose. So there's very little pressure that you need to maintain this stick from falling. And then you start to lift your right arm, and your nose and face has to follow. Otherwise, you'll either have the stick slip, or you'll drop it, or it'll break. So your arm and your head, everything has to move simultaneously. And just to feel the slightest tension that you need. And that's the amount of tension that you need just about for everything. Okay? Great. Really nice. Now, just for the next movement or two, create more tension in, not only the index finger, but in your whole hand. Really tense the hand. And ask yourself the question, first of all, how does that feel? It's a lot of work. And is it necessary for what you're doing? So how often in our lives do we do all this extra effort when it's not necessary at all? No wonder we get fatigued. Great. Okay. Pause again and roll onto your back and take a rest. And let's roll once again back onto your left side. Right arm is straight out in front of you. And now this time you're going to lift your right arm, letting your head, your eyes, your chest follow the arm so you can bring it up towards the ceiling and keep it there. And again, your chest at this point, your sternum, your chest bone should be orientated towards the ceiling as well as your face and the right fingertips. And now begin to do the movement of lengthening the right arm towards the ceiling and letting it come sliding back down. So you now feel that you start to engage the shoulder blade, which is also known as your scapula. That they're working together now. You pull the scapula away from your spine, and then it slides back down towards your spine. Very good. And now can you begin to add in the movement of the turning? So again, there's two ways to turn, and explore and try your different options. Lengthening and turning one way and then coming back and turning the other. Make sure you always slide that shoulder blade back down with one of the turns. That's it. Very, very nice. Great. Okay, and come back onto your side and pause and rest on your side for a moment. Bring your right arm straight out in front of you. And now begin to do the movement of turning your right arm over itself in front of you on the floor. So you just roll the palm, roll over your thumb so that the palm is up, and then the palm comes back down. Good. And now then start to incorporate not only turning over the right arm, but the movement of starting to arc and slide the arm up towards your head and even coming behind you. And notice as you bring the right arm behind you, which would be back over to what you call your right side, there's the second turning over of the arm. So the arm needs to turn twice inside of the shoulder joint to be able to come behind you. And then you fully reverse the movement, feeling the participation of your spine and your ribs, your head, your pelvis. And really notice in particular where the right arm is above you. See if you can pause there for a moment and imagine you're like reaching for something above you. And as you do that, you can feel your spine elongate even more. This is useful for tennis serve, so that you involve the whole spine. Can you feel that? You lengthen the arm above you, your whole spine lengthens, and you feel it pulls your pelvis. Very good. And as you do the movement just a few more times, really take your time to tune in to and sense the quality at which you move, the ease and the elegance. When one can learn to move in this way, you see how little effort is really required for the whole system to be involved. And it's a very pleasurable experience to move. So just go slow with it and see which part of the movement you feel it, and then ask yourself the question, what's not moving at that point? Now continue with the movement just a little bit more and see if now you can begin to make an entire circle around yourself. So you go up and over the head, down to your backside, and then you can come all the way down towards your pelvis. The arm turns over again. You then have to leave the floor to come over your pelvis and bring the hand and palm back in front of you. So if you are experiencing any kind of discomfort along the way, you just ask yourself the question, what perhaps in me is not participating? Is my shoulder blade moving? Am I moving inside the shoulder joint? Am I turning the arm over? Am I breathing? Now let the arm turn over. Is that better?
I think we're supposed to turn over at the top.
Yeah. So do it earlier. do it earlier. That's good. That's
I'm right there. And it's like I can feel it grinding.
That's okay. It's moving. There. Great. And the next time that your arm comes behind you, you can then just allow your entire self to roll onto your back and rest. And now observe how it feels lying on your back now. How each arm is lying along your side, how the shoulder blades feel, your spine, the pelvis. And noticing for yourself where you feel the greatest change. So based on each one of our own experiences in ourselves and what's going on with ourselves, everybody will have a different feeling or sensation about that. And maybe you can ask yourself the question what you really liked about the lesson today. Probably whatever you liked about it is what you'll most remember, and you can maybe repeat it and do it at home. And now just take one more moment to think about how these movements, the circles, all the different types of turning in circles we did with your arms and your whole self could be useful in your life. And then when you come up to standing in a moment, maybe you can check out some of those ideas, whether it's doing a tennis swing or serving a tennis ball or imagining opening a door or reaching for something in a backpack, whatever you came up with, and seeing how you now use your arms and yourself. Bless you. Okay, so go ahead and roll to one of your sides. Come up to standing.
Excuse me.
You made it. Feel how it feels in standing. To
hit your friend?
Yeah, good, Monique. That's a good one. Okay, so go ahead and walk around the room and just feel, try some things out with using your arms. Linda did a really nice one, too. It's like for us women, it's hooking your bra. Bring your arms behind your back. Or wanting to scratch your back. Good lesson. Good. Okay, so you guys have a good week, and we'll see you next week.